The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you would grant to us the fullness of your Holy Spirit, giving us wisdom, revelation, and an experience of your presence today as we hear your word. Move in us to transform us individually and collectively into the image of Christ, to bear witness to him in this world at this time. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So as Father Joe spoke prior to the service, and as your bulletin says, today we celebrate the holy day of St. James. And there's almost as many James in the Bible as there are Marys. So it can be confusing sometimes about which James we speak of. There's at least three James. There's James, who is the brother of John, the apostle, the sons of Zebedee. And that's the James that we're speaking of and celebrating as we remember him today. The other James are James, the son of Alphaeus, who was also a disciple. And then James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the letter of James in the Bible. And this James is sometimes called James the Great or James the Greater. And as Father Joe read the gospel, you heard how Jesus defines greatness. It's not according to the greatness of the world, the celebrity, the status and power and merit of those in the world. But Jesus defines greatness by those who give of themselves the most, by those who become servants and even slaves to others. And Jesus himself demonstrates this in his life and death, as he came not to be served, not to accumulate greatness for himself, but to rather give his life as a ransom for all the world by dying for the sake of us. And so that's why James, while he asked for one type of greatness along with John, his brother, he actually is known for his greatness according to the definition given by Jesus. So I want to walk through James's life, because as we examine the lives of Jesus's apostles and his early followers, what we see is that they're ordinary men and women, but they were moved upon and empowered by an extraordinary God. And James and his brother John, as you may know, they were sons of Zebedee. They were fishermen, and right away, as Jesus begins calling his disciples, he calls Peter and Andrew, and then he goes along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he sees James and John, sons of Zebedee. And in Mark 1:20, it says, "And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." So immediately, James and John responded to the call of Jesus to follow him, to become his disciples, leaving what seemed like a prosperous fishing business with their father on the Sea of Galilee. Now, in making that choice in response to Jesus' call and God's grace, they experienced amazing things in their life with Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. They were in the inner circle. James, John, and Peter were the ones that Jesus drew closest to himself. He invited them into some of his most intimate and amazing experiences. They were invited to come to him, what has been known, come to be known as the Mount of Transfiguration. This occurred when Jesus went up on a mountain to pray during the night, and he invited Peter and John and James with him. Only those three, the other apostles and disciples, were left at the bottom of the mountain. And these three went up on the mountain, and while Jesus was praying, they fell asleep. But when they were awakened, they saw Jesus transfigured. And the Bible says that his clothing and his appearance was whiter than anything imagined in the world. And the glory of God hovered around them. And they saw him speaking to Elijah and Moses, two of the most famous and greatest men in the history of Israel and the world. They were standing there talking with Jesus in this glorious light. And as they're in awe and overwhelmed, they hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of this glorious cloud, saying of Jesus, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." And they fall down in fear, trembling. And when they look up again, Jesus alone is standing there. So imagine the impact that would have on these three men, John and James and Peter. I think it was so overwhelming to them, they didn't even hear as they were coming down the mountain Jesus telling them that the Son of Man, speaking of himself, would be betrayed into the hands of sinners, that he would be killed, that he would die and on the third day rise again. They didn't hear any of that. They were overwhelmed with this vision of Jesus' greatness, and they were right there with him. And they saw other events like Jesus healing and raising from the dead Jairus' daughter. Again, only Peter, James, and John were invited into the room when Jesus said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she rose from the dead, and Jesus gave her back to his parents. They were there when Jesus called forth Lazarus from the grave after 4 days. They were there to see other miracles when all who touched the hem of Jesus' garments were healed. They saw him multiply the bread and fish on two occasions. They saw him cast out demons. So it's not surprising that they would have this idea that they were right next to the Great One and that they too had a great destiny in this world, being the right and left hand men of the Messiah, who would surely any day now get rid of the Romans and raise up a throne in Israel. So it's maybe not really surprising, knowing how we are as people and what we think of life in this world, that they might, along with their mother, approach Jesus and ask if they could have the right and left-hand thrones and seats when Jesus came into his power. You know what they're doing here. They know they're in the inner circle. They're trying to cut out Peter. Can you believe that? The audacity. So they take their mom, and then Jesus says to them, "Listen, guys, you don't know what you're asking." And they say, "Yes, we do." And he says, "Can you drink the cup that I must drink?" "Oh, yes, we can." And Jesus knows they will indeed. But then he gives them the insight of the kingdom of heaven. And by this time, all the other disciples have gathered around to see what's going on. What did they ask for? They did what? And they become indignant. So Jesus has to counsel them and teach them, "Don't seek to lord it over others. In the kingdom of heaven, those who are great must be servants of all." So that's among the apostles. Well, it might not be surprising then that also when they were trying to go through Samaria, and this is in Luke chapter 9, after the transfiguration, the apostles and Jesus are trying to go to Jerusalem. They're trying to go through Samaria, and there was this conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so Luke writes that as they tried to enter a village of the Samaritans, the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them. Come on, Lord, let's do it. And they had seen Elijah, and Elijah did things like this. Moses did things like this. And now they're right there with Jesus. But he turned and rebuked them because they haven't yet learned about life in the kingdom of heaven. But they're about to see what it means to be great in the kingdom of heaven. These three, again, are invited to accompany Jesus following the Last Supper into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his arrest. And he invites Peter, James, and John, and he says, come with me while I pray and keep watch. And the Gospels tell us that he began to pray, and he told them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And then he prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And then, as you know, he came and he found them sleeping, these three, Peter, James, and John, and he awoke them and he said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. But their eyes were heavy with sleep and they fell asleep again. And it's hard to imagine, as it is to imagine what it was like on the Mount of Transfiguration, to imagine what it was like in this garden as they see Jesus being arrested and taken away in chains and then tortured and put to death, how they must have reacted. Their whole frame of reference of the Messiah was turned upside down and shattered. And so after the crucifixion, James and John and the rest of the apostles, they spend those days between the crucifixion and the resurrection locked in a room for fear of the Jews. And then Jesus appears to them. And in Luke 24, he comes into the room. He says, peace to you. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures. And he shares with them how it had to be done this way to fulfill the scriptures, that the Son of Man had to die and be raised to life. And then he encourages them that they will receive power from on high to be his witnesses, proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all people. And then after 40 days of being with them on and off and teaching them about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus ascends into heaven. And rather than hide in fear, we see that the apostles are gathering in prayer and worship and waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the apostles and the 120 disciples, and they become like new people, empowered with the Holy Spirit, encouraged and emboldened, and given this vision of the ministry to which they have been called to preach Jesus. And their lives become transformed, and their community becomes transformed, and they begin to turn the world upside down. And Luke tells us that these same people who hid in fear, who had a very confused idea of what Jesus was about to do before his death and resurrection, it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, through James, who we remember today. And many came to faith in Jesus. And they began to form a new family, a new community of believers, followers of Jesus. And what we see is that these apostles continue to give themselves fully in service to Jesus and the kingdom of God. They began to preach. They began to do miracles. And they began to be persecuted. They were arrested. Peter and John were arrested first after healing a man. But they continued to pray as they gathered together. And this is an example of what these apostles, including James, prayed during their persecution. In Acts 4:29, as they were released from prison, Peter and James, and came to meet with the others, they all together prayed, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness and with great power. The apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. In this passage, in this prayer and description, it shows us what happened to James and the apostles. How were they transformed from being worldly men and then scared men to being men who represented Christ to the world and gave their lives for the world? Men who preached in the face of persecution. Men who did signs and wonders and miracles. What we see is that the Holy Spirit was upon them, and great grace was upon them all. I think we can make two mistakes when reflecting on James's life. One, we can just be in awe of him and think that he is a super kind of person that we could never be like. Or we can make the mistake of thinking that if we worked really hard and tried really hard, that maybe we could be like him. But what the scriptures show us, that it is by the grace of God that was upon him, and it was by the Holy Spirit that baptized him, that he was able to serve Christ in preaching and in prayer and in doing signs and wonders. He bore witness to Christ. It was through the power of God and his commitment that was stated in a statement that the apostles made after being arrested again, brought before the same council that had sentenced Jesus to death. And they say, "We must obey God rather than men." And they continued to speak the word boldly. And in Acts 6:4, the apostles say to the rest of the believers, "We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And James committed to that. He was a man transformed by his devotion to Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And James, like us, was saved not by his own goodness or merit, but by grace through faith. As it said, great grace was upon them. And in his response, and this is where we have the responsibility, he committed himself to prayer and to bearing witness about Jesus. His life demonstrates that he believed with certainty that Jesus is God, that he died and rose from the dead and is alive at the right hand of power, and that his Holy Spirit is with us, empowering us to bear witness to Jesus. He came to Jesus, and he stayed with Jesus, and he lived for Jesus and died for Jesus. He was, however, an ordinary man, an ordinary person like us. And I pray that we might be transformed with the extraordinary faith and devotion, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that like him, God would be shown through us. So I pray, Father, that great grace will abound to us, and that you would baptize us in your Holy Spirit, and that we would walk with encouragement as we reflect on James's life. And may we, empowered by your presence, covered by your grace, devote ourselves to following Jesus, to prayer, to bearing witness, and to pursuing greatness in the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. Amen.